We return to the study of the book of Mark. We're in chapter 1, and as I look at the bulletin, I'm reminded that when I sent this information, my plan was to cover verses 14 through 20, and then after I sent that information, I decided I was going to cover verses 14 through 15, and since I made that decision, I've made yet a new decision that I'm going to cover verse 14. And then the newest decision is I'm going to cover the first half of verse 14. And I'll explain to you, yeah, we'll be in Mark a while, won't we? But I'll explain to you why I made that decision. But let me read to you the one verse here, the word of the Lord. Now, after John had been delivered up into custody, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of God. Okay, today the text is just one verse, but we're going to focus on the first half of that verse, and why is that? It's because in preparing this message, I was struck that we were largely saying goodbye to John. When I say the name John, I'll be referring in each case to John the Baptist. So when we read this verse, we read, now after John had been delivered up into custody, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of God. As we read that, a transition is taking place. In the first 13 verses of the book of Mark, 9 of those verses, John the Baptist is either talked about or an actor. But with the words, now after John had been delivered up, his ministry largely comes to a close. Jesus' ministry is launching, and rightly so, Jesus' ministry henceforward will be the focal point. But as I read that, now after John had been delivered up, I had that feeling that perhaps you had when you were graduating from high school, where you know you're anticipating what the next season is going to be, you're thinking about that, but then somewhere, maybe along the last month or so of school, you realize, these people that I've been with for years and I will never be together like this again. And there's a little bit of a heaviness to think we will never be together like this again. And I felt that way as I thought about John, as this season of ministry is being brought to a close in such an understated way in the first half of verse 14. And so before jumping into the next season, I wanted to savor and reflect on John and his ministry. So that's the plan for today. So again, I'm going to read the first half of that verse. Now, after John had been delivered up into custody. Now, that version right there is the Legacy Standard Version, and the words into custody are supplied by the translator for clarification. The verb there in the actual Greek is to deliver up, to hand over, to give over. And so a very literal reading would be after John was delivered up, or after John was given over, or after John was handed over. The English Standard Version translates it, now after John was arrested. The King James says, now after John was put into prison. Now, why was John delivered up? Was it because he was preaching, after me one is coming who is mightier than I, thus making the Roman authorities uneasy about one who would compete as king? Was that the reason? No. Was it because, as Luke tells us in chapter 3 of Luke, verse 15, all were reasoning in their hearts about John as to whether he was the Christ, thus perhaps making the Roman authorities uneasy about one who would compete with the king? No. Was it because he told the Roman soldiers who came to him, don't take money from anyone by force or extort anyone? Was that the reason? No. Then why was he delivered up? It was because John the Baptist reproved the Roman ruler of Galilee, Herod the Tetrarch, also known as Herod Antipas, for his unlawful divorce and remarriage. Herod Antipas had married the daughter of Aretas of Arabia, but he divorced her to marry Herodias, who was already his brother's wife. And according to the first century historian Josephus, Herod Antipas feared that John the Baptist, who was widely popular, would incite his followers to launch a rebellion against his rule. And so because of John's condemnation of Herod's marriage, and Luke lets us know also because of his condemnation of other evils Herod had done, ultimately Herod Antipas orders John's execution. Now, if and when we get to Mark chapter 6, we will hear about John's imprisonment and execution in greater detail. But John is not persecuted because he believed that Jesus was the Christ. He was delivered up because he spoke against the ruler's unlawful behavior. Everything else we're told about John's witness, as far as I know, was centered on the revelation of the coming one. But it was his reproval of this unlawful divorce and remarriage that got him imprisoned and ultimately executed. And so from this and other things that we read in the scripture about John the Baptist, I'd like to make several observations and applications from John's life and ministry. The first is this: God accomplished his purpose in John. God did not allow the arrest of John to take place until John had finished his role. He completed his mission as the forerunner of Jesus. He completed his role as the Elijah who would come. He fulfilled his role as the prophet before that great and awesome day of Yahweh, who prepared the way before the Lord by preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins, turning the hearts of fathers to their children and the hearts of children to their parents. And just as we read regarding Jesus in John chapter 7, that they were seeking to seize him, but no man laid his hand upon him because his hour had not yet come, so also God did not permit John's seizure early on. He made sure that John fulfilled the role for which God intended John to fulfill. Dear friends, God has made you for his purpose. And he is accomplishing his purpose in you. Proverbs 16:4 says this: Yahweh has made all for his purpose, yea, even the wicked for the day of evil. If he has made all for his purpose, then he's made you for his purpose. And if he's even made the wicked for his purpose, then he certainly has made you his blood-bought children for his purpose. And while John's purpose was specifically prophesied and identified in the scriptures, and yours and mine are not, nevertheless, Yahweh has made all for his purpose, and you and I are included in all that he has made. God accomplished his purpose in John. God will accomplish his purpose in us. The second observation and application is this: the short period of John's ministry accomplished lasting results. John the Baptist was about 6 months older than Jesus. Luke tells us in Luke chapter 3 that Jesus was about 30 years of age when he began his public ministry. Thus, John was about that age when he began his. It would seem like John's ministry was a matter of months. Some suggest that John's public ministry was about 6 months long. Yet in that 6 month period, the Lord accomplished much through him. We read in John chapter 10 that the people came to Jesus and they said that while John did no sign, yet everything John said about this man, everything John said about Jesus was true. And it says in John 10, verse 42, and many believed in him, that is in Jesus, there because of what John had told them about him. And here we are 2,000 years later, and you and I still get heat and light from his ministry that was maybe 6 months long. Jesus said, for whoever gives you a cup of water to drink in my name because you are of Christ, truly I say to you, he will not lose his reward. Jesus said, I say to you, make friends for yourselves from the wealth of unrighteousness, so then what fails, they will take you into eternal dwellings. Jesus is saying, when we do ministry, something that may seem small in the world's eyes, including giving a cup of water to drink to someone because of Christ, or when we use our resources to bless someone else, he says, this has eternal and lasting results. John Wesley, commenting on that passage out of Luke about making friends for yourselves with the wealth so they will take you into eternal dwelling, says this: make yourselves friends of this by doing all possible good, particularly to the children of God, that when ye fail, when your flesh and your heart faileth, when this earthly tabernacle is dissolved, those of them who have gone before may receive, may welcome you into the everlasting habitations. We rightly acknowledge the murderous and tragic deaths of the missionaries in Haiti, and we are rightly concerned for the orphans with whom they were working. At the same time, their ministry to others and their ministry within their own families shall yield lasting results. Jesus said, I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. Amen. So, dear friends, let us not waste our time. Let us use our time well. When I was in high school, there was a study out. I don't know if it's true, but it seemed to be purported to be scientific, that a child, by the time he graduated from high school, had spent more hours in front of the TV than in the classroom. Well, I don't know what it is now, but I think what we can allow to be one of the biggest enemies of a good use of time are our cell phones and the entertainment on. I'm not talking about doing your work through it, but the entertainment. If we spend too much time with our cell phones or other mediums seeking entertainment, we're wasting a lot of time. And if we're wasting a lot of time for entertainment's sake, I'd say, friends, repent. Ephesians 5:15-16 says this: therefore, look carefully how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Colossians 4:5, walk in wisdom toward outsiders, redeeming the time. Psalm 90:12, so teach us to number our days that we may present to you a heart of wisdom. Psalm 39:4, Yahweh, cause me to know my end, and what is the extent of my days. Let me know how transient I am. John 9:4, we must work the works of him who sent me as long as it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. In Galatians 6:10, so then, while we have opportunity, let us do good. While we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially those who are of the household of faith. Now, of course, God, by his mercy, gives us that principle of working six and resting one. Rest is part of God's blessing to us. But in all of our days, let us redeem the time and not waste it. Dear friends, we don't know whether our time left here on earth is long or short, but we do know this. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. Psalm 139:16. We know that whoever gives a cup of cold water in the name of Christ will not fail to receive his reward. We know that Jesus will build his church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. The Lord accomplished his purposes in a short period of time of ministry through John the Baptist. May he use us with whatever days we have here on earth. The third application is this: John spoke the truth to people at every level without favoritism. Let me read from Luke chapter 3. So he was saying to the crowds who were going out to be baptized by him, you brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Therefore bear fruits in keeping with repentance, and do not begin to say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father. For I say to you that from these stones God is able to raise up children to Abraham. But indeed the axe is already laid at the root of the trees. Therefore every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. And the crowds were questioning him, saying, then what shall we do? And he would answer them and say to them, the man who has two tunics is to share with him who has none, and he who has food is to do likewise. And the tax collectors also came to be baptized, and they said to him, Teacher, what should we do? And he said to them, collect no more than what you have been ordered to. And the soldiers, of course, these were Roman soldiers, were also questioning him, saying, what should we also do? And he said to them, do not take money from anyone by force or extort anyone, and be content with your wages. One is wrong to think that only liberal churches are concerned about justice. Look at what John is telling these people to do as part of their repentance. Share clothing and food with those who have none. Do not scam or threaten others. And he speaks to others about what is right in the context of repentance and in preparation. Ephesians 5:11 says this, and do not participate in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead even expose them. And he also spoke to the Herod, and he told him flat out that the circumstances of his divorce and remarriage were unlawful. He had courage under circumstances of great peril. And dear friends, we ought not to be indifferent to the character of our rulers, and we ought not fear speaking boldly about it. Ecclesiastes 10:17 says this, blessed are you, O land, whose king is of nobility. The fourth application is this, observation application. John's ambition was to exalt Christ, not himself. We read in John chapter 3 that Jesus and his disciples were in the land of Judea, and John was also there baptizing. It says that John had not yet been thrown into prison, and we read further, there arose a debate between John's disciples and a Jew about purification. And they came to John and said to him, Rabbi, he who was with you beyond the Jordan, to whom you have borne witness, behold, he is baptizing, and all are coming to him. John answered and said, a man can receive nothing unless it has been given to him from heaven. You yourselves are my witnesses that I said, I am not the Christ, but I have been sent ahead of him. He who has the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom, who stands and hears him, rejoices greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. So this joy of mine has been made full. He must increase, but I what? But I must decrease. He who comes from above is above all, and he is of the earth is from the earth and speaks of the earth. He who comes from heaven is above all. What he has seen and heard, of that he bears witness, and no one receives his witness. He who has received his witness has set his seal to this, that God is true. For he whom God has sent speaks the words of God, and he gives the Spirit without measure. The Father loves the Son and has given all things into his hand. He who believes in the Son has eternal life, but he who does not obey the Son will not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. John denied that he was the Messiah, and two of John the Baptist's disciples, including Andrew, defected to Jesus at John's own insistence. His ambition was to exalt Christ, not himself. And then the fifth observation application I want to make is this. This is the final one. That Jesus commended John and his ministry. In Mark chapter 11, we have the situation where the chief priests and the scribes are coming to test Jesus, trying to trap him in his words. And so we read this. As he was walking in the temple, the chief priests and the scribes and the elders came to him and began saying to him, by what authority are you doing these things? Or who gave you this authority to do these things? And Jesus said to them, I will ask you one question and you answer me, and then I will tell you by what authority I do these things. Was the baptism of John from heaven or from men? Answer me. And Jesus was very clear and direct. John's ministry was from heaven. And in Matthew chapter 11, after John's disciples come to Jesus with a question, these men are walking away, and Jesus begins to speak to the crowds about John, and he says this, "What did you go out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken by the wind? But what did you go out to see? A man dressed in soft clothing? Behold, those who wear soft clothing are in kings' palaces. But what did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and one who is more than a prophet. This is the one about whom it is written, 'Behold, I send my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way before you.'" John's ambition was to exalt Christ. It was not to exalt himself. And Christ commended him and his ministry. And dear friends, Jesus tells us that words will be shared with his faithful servants. "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master." Doesn't that make it more than worth everything? If we use our lives well for the exaltation of Christ and not to exalt ourselves, and hear the master say to us one day, "Well done, good and faithful servant," it'll more than all be worth it. So, dear friends, I wanted to focus on John's ministry tonight and let this inspire us to use our lives well. Y'all understand this kind of labor for the Lord is not to gain righteousness before him. That's been given us through Christ. But we respond to that gift with heartfelt thanks, obedience, and service.